is a copyrighted trademark podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio. Romancing the Reader hosts Tessa and Riley welcome author M.K. Meredith to this episode of the show. M.K. writes An Emotional Ride on Heated Sheets, is a lover of peanut butter, and a major hugger. Her latest book, A Heated Touch of Action, is the third installment of her Scripted for Love series and will be releasing March 19th. Welcome to the show, MK.
Hi, Riley. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. And hello to Tessa, too.
Hey. Hi, Riley. Hey, MK. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
And MK, for listeners who are not familiar with you, why don't you give us, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am MK Meredith, and I, that is such a loaded question. I could go on and on. Now, I write romance. I've been a lover of romance since I was very, very young, and I had a question one day if I could ever do anything, be anything that I loved and it didn't feel like work, what would it be? And I decided that, writing romance was the absolute answer for that. So I've been published for about 3 years now. I started out traditional, went hybrid, and now I'm full indie, and I'm loving every moment of it. I just think that with all of the ups and downs that we all have in our lives every single day, that go somewhere and know that it's going to turn out to be a happy ending, something that makes you smile and really feels good, something where you can learn from and leave feeling like you have a family. It's in a romance novel. So I love being a part of this community.
So who are the authors that inspired, I guess, and influenced your work?
As far as authors inspiring me, I have been reading romance since I was way too young. I remember meeting Virginia Henley, and that will age me a bit for some of the people in the know out there, back in 2005 at an RWA conference in Reno. And I told her I've been reading her books since I was about 11. My dad handed me, I think it was The Falcon and the Flower, I think is the name of it. And he said, here, I think you'll like this. And that was the end of it. Virginia Henley being the first romance I ever read was definitely one of the big ones there. And then I grew up reading Jude Devereaux, and Amanda Quick was one of my favorites. I had to read every single novel that she wrote. Nora Roberts, Victoria Alexander. And then as I became a writer, I really, really looked towards Susan Elizabeth Phillips as one, and Nora, as ones that inspire the kind of romance I wanted to write. I write contemporary. Funny thing is, I am a huge reader of historical. Victoria Alexander is one of my favorites. And, but I knew that it wasn't where I was going to find my home as far as writing. So I read historicals for absolute pleasure, and then I write contemporary, and that gives me pleasure. And then other kind of romance author peers that are big influences on me are some of my very good friends that I've made. Marina Dare is amazing, and she's a plot queen, so I love to talk to her about my work and, you know, series plots with her, and so much support, beautiful friends like Gina L. Maxwell and Cameron Clare. So there's just so many amazing authors out there. Our community is so supportive and tight that it's a wonderful place to be. So it's easy to find influence as far as writing style as a writer and a woman in general in this romance community.
So they have may have had some influence on your newest release that's coming out next week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that book?
So repeat the very first part of the question.
Like, just that, you know, maybe they've had some influence on what you're working on currently.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. So my newest book that's coming out March 19th is A Heated Touch of Action, and it's book three in my Scripted for Love series. And my Scripted for Love series is 30-somethings out in Malibu, Hollywood, L.A., trying to make it in the film industry. Everything from studio attorneys to the actors themselves are in this book. I really, really enjoyed writing this third story. It made me bawl like a baby. It made me laugh. And my husband always thinks it's hysterical that I will be writing and I'll start crying, or I'll start laughing and think something's funny. And he will ask me, he's like, what are you laughing at? And I'm like, oh, it's something that my character Belle just said. She's cracking me up. And he's like, "You, but you're the one writing it." I'm like, nope, I'm not funny. I'm not funny at all, but Belle's pretty damn funny. So it's been just a really fun story to write. As far as and any of my friends who are influencing that one, that story wasn't influenced so much from other authors or writer friends, but I have a wonderful friend named Amber Schaefer, who is a military friend that goes way back with my husband Brian and I to Abilene, Texas. And she sat down and talked to me. She's in academia, and she sat down and talked to me about the professor life, you know, in a big university. And my character is a professor, a psychology professor, who specializes in love, but she doesn't believe in it herself. So I think for influence for that story, my friend Amber was a huge part of that.
Hey, MK,
so
this is Tessa. I have a question from a reader. They're new to you and your books, and they want to know if your books can be read as standalones.
All of my books can be read as standalones, yes. They are parts of a series, but everything is wrapped up thoroughly. You have your beginning and end. You will see different characters from the different series in each, and those same characters will come back in every other book, but you don't have to read them in order. So you can absolutely read them out of order.
Great. I'll let her know.
And I love new readers and love to connect. So if they love chatting too, I'm their girl.
And so do you find inspiration in people you know? Like, do you kind of build in there maybe hints of somebody you know in the characters?
Absolutely, all the time. So all my friends must beware. All strangers must beware. I was at I have three older brothers, and my big brother Todd just turned 50, and he'll probably shoot me for just announcing that to the world, but went down and visited him, and one of his good friends, she is an absolute hoot. She was telling me that she has this pair of sandals that has a bottle cap opener on the back of them, or like on the bottom part of it. She was telling me that she was pumping gas one day. She had gotten, I think it was probably like a Coke, and while she was pumping gas, she lifted her foot up, bent down, popped the cap off her pop, and then was drinking it while she was pumping gas, and some guy yelled out, "Will you marry me?" And I was dying. It was the funniest thing I'd heard in a long time. I'm like, oh my gosh, that has to be in a book. So I immediately pulled out my phone and started taking notes. And she was dying. She goes, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in a book. Me and my sandals are going to be in a book. And then, of course, I had to go Google those sandals, because I just feel like I would be a party favorite if I owned a pair. And also, to answer your question a little bit more, all the different characteristics of my beautiful friend, Riley included, all of those I pull from when I've got a character developing. The heroes will have touches of my husband in them, friends of ours, and then also, you know, whatever my greatest ideal will be, you know, that will be in there too. But I absolutely pull all sorts of information, characteristics, quirks from people I meet, and I love to people watch. So it goes way beyond just the people I know.
And also you find some inspiration in some celebrities as well, don't you?
Yeah. You're funny. Yes. So, well, two of my favorites for the longest time have been Gerard Butler and David Gandy. So Gerard Butler, I saw him in 300 and he wowed me. And then I fell in love with him in P.S. I Love You. I have friends that either think that's the cheesiest movie in the world or they love it. And I absolutely love it. And I have seen it time and time again. And it is a movie that I go back to and rewatch for inspiration for my writing, because as cheesy as it sounds, and I will embrace full cheese 100%, I think there is something so justly heartfelt and lovely about knowing someone so well that you figure out a way to help them find themselves and move forward, even though your days are coming to an end. And that is what that movie is about. And I loved Gerard Butler's character in there. And he was so damn cute. I don't know if I can say that. So damn cute. And so I really love that. And then David Gandy is a model, British model that most people know. And he's got the dark hair and these blue eyes, just killer. He's great inspiration for a romance hero. And so he actually is the inspiration for my hero, who is Rock in Just a Little Camera Shy, for my scripted For Love series. And then Gerard Butler is actually the hero inspiration for Gage Cutler in the first book, Love Under the Hot Lights. So when readers are reading those two books, they can keep Jerry and David in mind. And then when I'm writing up books, I love to find celebrities celebrities or models where I can have pictures for both my heroes and heroines, because it just really helps me picture them, facial expressions, and helps me get to know them a lot better if I kind of land on someone versus having this, you know, free-floating image.
And so you used Pinterest as a tool to help you kind of organize those images?
I absolutely do. I usually make a Pinterest board for each book, and then I will pull from all over just to put my ideas and inspirations up there. And a lot of times I have those open to the readers. Sometimes I lock them down if I'm just really trying to focus on exactly what I want to build in there. But I think they're very useful and so much fun. And then for the readers, I really, because I know for myself, I think it's super fun if there's a book I read to go check out the author's board for it, their storyboard for it, and see what the inspiration, you know, what everything looked like to them. Because even if I give readers a picture, who they're going to build in their mind is going to be completely different, stories in general. But I do love Pinterest for finding and organizing the stories and the places and the food, all of it. It's a great place for that.
So the Heated Touch of Action is the third book in the Scripted for Love series. You have another series that you recently finished that's your On the Cape trilogy. You want to tell us a little bit about that trilogy?
I would love to. So the other series is Cape Van Buren, and On the Cape is the first trilogy. It will be a 12-book novel. I'm not even making sense there, but it's 12 books long with additional novellas throughout it. So it's going to be a nice long one. Again, they're all standalone. You don't have to read them in order. The first trilogy is complete, so there's Love on the Cape, Honor on the Cape, and Cherish on the Cape. This series is so incredibly important to me because it is the very first series that I launched becoming full indie author. Love on the Cape will always have a special place in my heart because I just really connected to the storyline there. It was this woman who was just broken and had been dealt the most tragic loss of all, and she was desperate to save this piece of land that was her favorite place. It was her little boy's favorite place. Well, the hero comes back in town, and his childhood was incredibly destructive, and he just wants a chance to close those doors and to basically let his past pay for his future. So they both want the same place. He wants to parcel it up into pieces, and she is just heartbroken that he's trying to destroy it. So Love on the Cape is their love story. And then it just continues from there. And these characters are amazing. Cape Van Buren is a community that is determined to make sure every single person who lives there has their happy ever after. And it's one of those series that I really do believe just about every reader will cry and they will laugh. They also might get mad. Every single feeling you're going to feel through these stories. And the second series is called North Cove Romances, and I am ready and raring to go. These three stories, it's about triplets, and their story is amazing, and there is a lot of heartfelt and just moments to cherish within the series coming. So I'm super excited to get it into readers' hands. And something that's really great for my readers to know is all of my series are connected. So whether or not they're reading Love on the Cape, Scripted for Love, I have a few other books, you will see different characters and cameos, and you will understand how they're all tied together. So you can't go wrong in choosing any of the series.
So do you stick to writing one at a time, or do you, like when you were working on A Heated Touch of Action, were the Cape characters kind of talking to you and you're working on both at one time, or do you try to keep it separate?
I tend to be a very linear person, so when I am working on a book, I have to focus and finish out that book. During the story, the characters might tell me of some storylines or things that they want told in later books, or that they want to pop up into this book. And that's always a lot of fun when that happens. But I am not a writer that can work on three different stories at one time. The only thing I can do at the same time is I have a nonfiction book coming out in October. I'm a two-time breast cancer survivor, and so I have a book called Not Your Usual Boo, and it is the good, bad, and wonky of breast cancer. And with that book, I think because it is so different, I can work on my romances while I'm editing or working on the nonfiction, because because in my brain it's very, very different kind of writing, where I do not find that I am very good at or interested in working on two different romances at one time.
And then you do articles also in a magazine?
I do. I write articles for a magazine called Posh 7, and it's a modern woman's lifestyle magazine out of the Northern Virginia area. They feature a lot of strong, just business savvy, amazing women, so I really love being a part of that magazine. I started out writing like Q&A, but we found that a lot of readers are a little intimidated about sending in questions. So instead now I still write articles, but they tend to be about women's lifestyle things, whether it's relationships, love, embracing being single or embracing being a married woman, but still wanting your husband to find you attractive even though you've got baby spit up on you and, you know, peas in your hair from your little one. So it's a lot of fun and very different too. So it's just a little bit of a break from the creative process of a romance novel, but still very much involved with love and romance and strong women. So it's a very good fit for me. And I'm really appreciative of being a part of that Posh 7 family.
So there's a lot of areas that readers can find you. You also do a little video blog, so which I've seen several of those episodes. It's the Uncork My Dork. Are you still thinking on those videos?
Yes. So I am, to be completely honest, not totally as regular as I should be with those. I will go through spurts and I will do a bunch of episodes. And then I'll quiet down for a little bit and I'll get back to it. And part of it is trying to figure out the best way to deliver those. I feel like a lot of people connect better when it's Facebook Live, but I was trying to do them in a more official manner and just do like the straight up video and then post it. So as I'm trying to figure that out, I think I'll get better. But yes, I call it Uncork My Dork. The main reason is because people who know me, I'm just a very, very silly person, and it can often come across as a very cheesy, dorky kind of silly. So in those videos, I get to just be completely me, as silly and dorky as I want to be. So we decided to call it Uncork My Dork, and it suits me very well. And then, so I am on, have a YouTube channel for that. And then, like a lot of us, I definitely on Facebook. That's one of my strengths. I love connecting and having conversations and sharing photos and stuff with people there. Instagram, Pinterest, I'm on Twitter as well. Those are the main ones. And then I have my website, and on my website, I have a couple different blogs. I have the blog that is towards the breast cancer awareness. And then I have some like life lessons, coping, kindness kind of blogs, and then my MK What's Up, and that we'll talk about new releases and where I'm going to be and, you know, different things, funny things about myself or my family or, you know, this writing journey. So I'm very easy to connect with. My email is on there. I always encourage people to reach out. If they have questions or want to talk. I also have a reader fan group called MKM Co. on Facebook. So I am everywhere.
And we love you for that.
You are a sweetheart, Riley. Thank you.
Tessa, do you have any other questions for MK today?
I do. I have one. I have a I'm a new reader to your books, and thank you very much, Riley, for introducing me to them. I have to ask, have you always been in love with peanut butter?
Oh my goodness, this is my deep dark secret. So yes, I have, and my brothers have the same addiction. They just try to pretend they don't, but they are just as bad as me. So if they ever listen to this, I'm calling Tommy, Todd, and Billy out. I am not alone. Yes, you know, growing up, we never this is where I think it stems from, because I'm not exactly sure, but growing up, we were a family like many others that didn't have a lot of money. We had a lot of hard things that happened. My mom passed away when I was really little. And weirdly enough, I think the peanut butter became a like coping mechanism, feel-good kind of thing, because all four of us just have a huge problem with it. We start eating it. We can't stop. Like, I can eat it like pudding. And so it's very dangerous. I love peanut butter with a spoon is my favorite way to eat it. The danger there is I can put away half a jar in seconds. It's just amazing. So, yes, it's a lifelong love affair, addiction. I'm not sure what I should call it. I think my husband would be more prone to calling it a very big problem. But I do love it. And he has even helped me out before. I told him, I'm like, look, I need help in resisting the peanut butter. So he put this label on it with like the skull and crossbones. And on one side, it said, shame on you. So when I would open the cupboard, I would see that there. But it didn't work. I still ate it.
There are worse habits that you could have, for sure.
Thank you. I agree. And And it tastes so good, and it makes me feel so happy. Like, I kid you not, if I'm feeling stressed out and I take a bite, I feel like this immediate calm wash over me, which makes me sound like an unstable person, but that is the truth.
Well,
it's
I can kind of relate because I keep a stash of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in my desk drawer. So.
Yes. See, and they taste as good as they make you feel when you don't think about the calories that are in them.
This is true.
Right?
Yep.
I love them. For my birthday, actually, I will tell you real quick, for my birthday, my oldest brother sent me this box, and it had 30 Reese's candies. It had 5 of each. It was like the double stuffed, the regular Reese's, the white chocolate Reese's, Reese's Pieces. Is that 5? I'm trying to think. Anyway, his whole agenda was for me to have one a day for 30 days, but I ate the whole box within a week. I let my kids have a little bit, but the truth is I ate 80% of them, and it was gone in a week. But that's how I have no willpower.
Okay, well, I've moved this to the power of peanut butter, and then MK grabbing a spoon and just digging in. So, yeah, it's legit.
Love it.
So, thank you so much, MK, for being on. Again, a heated touch of action, releasing March 19th. Listeners, readers can find you on Facebook and Instagram and your website. There's MK and Co. group on Facebook. They can sign up for your newsletter. And we look forward to seeing more from you. So thank you again for being on the show. And we'll
Riley,
talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me, both of you. This was such a pleasure, and I really enjoyed myself. Thank you so much.
So much fun. And thank you to all of the listeners for tuning in. And be sure to watch for our next episode coming April 7th when we interview rom-com author Rich Amui.